You should have just heard Bill Gunter off the air. Tell him what you just said. I think it was more of a ugh.
Yeah, I think that was more.
Somebody is not happy about Cinderella.
Yeah, it's look, man. And they, Sister Jean, they, I guess, I don't really know what happened last night because I happened to kind of turn around to the TV, but it looked like they had her at the kind of like the post-game press conference setting, not like in the arena. They brought her into the back, and she was there in front of the mic because it had the background of the NCAA tournament. Did you see that?
They like didn't have her at hold a press conference, but they were going to talk to her after the game. So they brought her into a quiet room, yeah. And they had a backdrop because it's an NCAA tournament sponsored event.
And look, man, that's neat. I don't want to be the grizzled one who comes in and says, oh, this lady. And
too late.
But no, that's good and all. And I it's fun, and I like that. But come on, man. Kentucky really let me down last night. Gonzaga really, really let me down. I mean, Florida State's a brand name team. That they're, I don't. Even at a 9 seed, in definition, they are a Cinderella. But Florida State's a brand-name team. You and I were talking about them yesterday. I still remember the days of Charlie Ward and Bob Sura. They've had really good players come through that program. Leonard Hamilton's recruited at a very high level just for whatever reason. They've never really been able to put it together for a run like this. But they've always been competitive. So I don't mind them as much. But, yeah, you're talking about either Kansas State or Loyola Chicago in the Final Four.
That's, to me, Florida State and Kansas State aren't that much different from a historical perspective. Yeah. But I like what we saw last night. It started.
Look at you. You are so happy.
Of course I am. I love seeing these runs. And I love seeing that the first Elite Eight team we got was an 11 seed. It's great for the tournament, I think, moving forward. This is March Madness because you don't just have Loyola, Chicago, and a bunch of mid-majors left in the tournament. Michigan won last night and was out of its mind shooting threes. 14 to 24, I think, was the final. They got threes from eight different dudes. They're now on to their third Elite Eight in the last 6 years. So that defines a big boy program. So you got them. And then you had upsets other than that. Texas A&M, I mean, what is North Carolina thinking last night? It looked like Texas A&M did not belong in the same tournament as
Michigan. Well, but, man, Michigan's hot. And Michigan was hot coming out of the Big Ten tournament. And the only question I had about Michigan, I had Michigan, depending on how, in the Final Four. I had them coming out of that region because they were playing exceptionally well. I didn't realize that stat you just said. I watched most of the game. I had the sound turned down. I was doing something else. But third Elite Eight in, would you say,
last 6 years?
6 years. I mean, you're right. John Beilein's done an incredible job with that program and what they are. They played really well to go through and win the Big Ten. Texas A&M, bottom line, ran into a buzzsaw last night. Michigan's playing as good as anybody in the country. I said last night I was pulling for Gonzaga just because all of a sudden, I think I said going into yesterday, if I had to redo, I would have Villanova and Gonzaga. Now it would be Villanova, Michigan, the way I still like Villanova. We'll see. Right now, the way this tournament's playing, and West Virginia does have the guards that can maybe cause problems for Villanova tonight. But, yeah, Michigan right now looks as good as anybody out there. It's going to be fascinating to see this game against Florida State and the athleticism that Florida State has on Saturday evening.
So two really good games and then two pretty much blowout games. Florida State beats Gonzaga by 15 late last night. Kansas State wins by 3 against Kentucky. Kentucky, a couple of looks to tie it in the final seconds, could not get it done. Michigan absolutely blowing out Texas A&M, 99-72. And then that first game, Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada. Loyola, Chicago winning it 69-68, dramatic fashion. And the Cinderella run just continues for a group that, I would have had no idea. I would have the equal no idea of what UMBC stood for and what the Loyola Chicago mascot was going into this tournament. This is zero chance to get.
Well, I think because you and I do a sports talk show, or at least me, you talked about it as well back in November, I think, or December. The only reason I'm really familiar with
the Florida game,
is they went down there and they beat Florida, and that was coming after Florida lost to Duke, but had been up 17 and went back home.
Well, let's get into that because that gets us to the SEC discussion. So the SEC had two teams playing last night. Now they have none. They had they had three in the Elite Eight last year. This year they have zero. We mentioned it all season long. There was it was an improved conference. The parity was there, 1 through 14, no doubt. Probably better than any other conference from a top to the bottom. There's no doubt, because Pittsburgh completely weighed down the ACC and takes them out of the argument. Okay. They were just awful. So I don't think there's any other conference that was close, 1 through the top team to the bottom team, is from a parity standpoint. But we also consistently said, after those first few weeks of the season where you thought Texas A&M and Florida were going to be national champion contenders. Not Kentucky this year, because they didn't have quite the top-level talent coming in, and they didn't have really any kind of returning guys to mix them with. Well, now we're seeing that come to fruition here, that, yeah, the SEC just didn't quite have that top-tier team or teams. It's odd to me that this time last year, there are three SEC teams left, including Carolina, Florida, and Kentucky. And this year, there are zero in the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I don't think you can put any stock in that whatsoever. I mean, to me, it's all about the matchups and where you get. And like you said, look, the SEC is a better league this year than it was last year. I mean, that's just, to me, that's plain and simple. Now, you had some matchups that just simply cost the SEC an opportunity to make a run. Alabama running into, in my opinion, the best team in the conference, in the tournament, in Villanova. Obviously, you had Texas A&M running into maybe the second best team. I mean, look, Texas A&M's been playing good, and all of a sudden they run into Michigan. If you've got Texas A&M playing Loyola last night, or Nevada, or Florida State, or Gonzaga, maybe they win that ball game. I think it's all about matchups and how you do that. It's kind of like bowl games. In the terms of just the matchups, I mean, I get it. They're bowl games. They're different scenarios, and the teams want to be there. And certainly playing an NCAA tournament game means a lot more than playing just kind of a random January 1st bowl game. But I don't put a whole lot of stock in that. I mean, you look at it, if you're basing that on tonight, Florida State has been above average all season. They have been great. They've been good. They look, again, there's a lot of talented players on that team. For whatever reason, they haven't really maxed out this year. But if Clemson and Duke were to get past tonight, get past Kansas and Syracuse, well, Syracuse is in it. So, you know, the ACC very well could end up having as many as four teams in the, is it three or four? I'm trying to look very quickly. Florida State, yeah, so three. Florida State, Duke, and Syracuse and or Clemson. Do you all of a sudden say, well, the ACC is just head and shoulders better than the SEC this past year?
No, but you say they're top-level teams, certainly perform better.
But again, you'd have for the sake of argument, you'd have an 11-seed Syracuse who barely crept into the tournament, barely mm-hmm. got in, and a 9-seed Florida State, and they comprise the Elite Eight. I just think, to me, it's matchups and who plays well. I don't think that defines the full body of work that you do from the months of November through the end of February. I think it's easy to do that. Now, the ACC's having a great run right now. I think the SEC had a good run. First weekend, the first round, they went 6-2.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're telling me because those six teams got eliminated from the round of 32 in the Sweet 16 that it was a bad run? I'm not saying you're telling me that. I don't think you can. I don't like that scenario. I think that the SEC has been perfectly fine. They ran into some really good teams here, and they didn't win the ballgame.
I think the NCAA tournament reflects what we saw this season, all season long, from the SEC. Really solid, 1 through 14. A lot of teams in the conversation for the NCAA tournament. It was a record-breaking year. You get eight teams in. Previous record was six. And here down the stretch, just not quite good enough to continue on. It's just kind of odd to me that last year was such a banner year in the NCAA tournament with three in the final eight. And, of course, Carolina carrying the mantle there to the final four. That's where the SEC ends up its season. Didn't see that coming last night. I thought Kentucky, most of us thought that they were almost a shoe-in to roll to San Antonio after the South region just got blown up. But now it's a 9-seed versus an 11-seed.
All right, raise your hand out there.
No one's got that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Sister Jean didn't have Loyola Chicago winning in the Sweet 16, man. That's all you need to know.
Yep.
Going to continue to break down last night's March Madness and tonight's matchups as well, including Clemson-Kansas and what you might be feeling about that from a Gamecock perspective. I'm wondering how Frank Martin feels about the Kansas State win last night as well. this has been a remarkable NCAA tournament, no doubt about that. That's not the only thing going on this weekend, though. Carolina baseball back in action tonight at Georgia. They got the freshman John Gilreath on the mound because of Adam Hill's shoulder tendonitis. He will miss the weekend at least. So an important weekend for the Gamecocks with their second conference series, first on the road, coming off the midweek loss to the Citadel and the series loss to Florida to start conference play last weekend. We got that on tap. We got Dan Werner meeting with the media a little later on this morning, the new Gamecocks quarterbacks coach. That should be an interesting session there. Might be the only time we'll hear from him in a while. So I'm looking forward to heading over to Williams-Brice Stadium on that. And I had the career fair experience yesterday, which was a lot different than your career day experience. I'll give you some details on that as we roll on this morning. Looking forward to hearing from you. 803-404-6100. Love Chevrolet phone lines. We'll get a Frank's Discount Tire poll question up and rolling at Tim Hill 107.5 on Twitter. He's at Will Gunter with 1L, and she is at Jen Jensen Morse. Typing this up right now. Anybody want Beyonce Jay-Z tickets for Williams-Brice August 21st? Giving away three pairs today. 650, 750, and 850. This morning, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to Jay-Z and Beyonce and Jen. Please make sure that I don't do what I usually do and just completely forget about that. And
I won't let you forget. Okay, have you seen the prices on those tickets?
No. What are you up to? I'm sure they're...
I mean, $1,500 plus.
I'm sorry?
Yes. What?
American dollars?
American money.
Not pesos?
I was stunned yesterday.
And that is where my respect goes out the window for artists. I just, you know.
I'm sorry. That is, you are wearing tie-dye this morning.
Yeah.
You sure that shouldn't be communist red? is that not the American dream?
I have no, you know what?
At what level? Was it at $1,499? You're okay with
it?
And
then okay with that.
Extra dollar?
out the window.
Yeah, I looked yesterday. I was playing with this is off. I forget.
Your value is what people are willing to pay.
I mean, because when I saw that,
aren't we just jealous that we can't do that?
No, because I look at all the fans who probably, you know, are helping them by buying downloads and discs and all that kind of stuff, but you're not ever going to allow them the opportunity to come see you.
They're not all $1,500. Come on.
No.
And we're giving away three pairs this morning for absolutely free.
Oh, sure.
I think you're right. I think some in like the upper deck are $350.
Okay, still.
I'm sorry. That's the cheapest ticket?
I think.
Yeah. Get out of here.
I kid you.
Get out. Where are you getting your information?
What did you think the cheapest ticket was going to be?
I would have thought still double digits, man. Like $90. I wouldn't even thought that. No. When you asked me, I would have said 50 probably. The cheapest ticket, the cheapest way to get in that concert, I would thought would have been $50. Sitting in the upper deck at Williams-Brice Stadium to watch a concert. I would have thought you got in for $50. Where are you getting your info here?
I was off of whatever the link was yesterday on like
the official link
yeah.
You saw from an email?
Yeah, because right now I guess the tickets have gone on sale. And I'm looking at Ticketmaster, and apparently the pre-sale is happening now. I have to unlock something, but... I was looking with somebody yesterday. They pulled it up and they were amazed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were showing me, and I saw the numbers for the tickets. And
what is pre-sale, by the way? If you're buying something, aren't they for sale? I don't get that.
Yeah,
I'm reading here says tickets don't go on sale till Monday.
Until March 26th. I think this is people that got tickets. I mean, look, the prices for this thing are going to be absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's just. I don't know if you see the iPad that I'm holding up. The way they've got it set, the stage will be. I guess the back of the stage is going to be where the student section is, so mm-hmm. It'll be down in that end zone, facing out toward the where the South Carolina runs out. I'm not sure the directions of the stadium.
So the tickets in the student section.
No, well, you don't know. There won't be the students.
No, I figured they'd probably still try to sell some.
You can see the back of the stage and hear them.
I did that at Colonial Life Arena for Jimmy Buffett.
Did you really?
If that tells you where I price my concert tickets. And it's one of the rare concerts I've actually been to, by the way. My buddy had some tickets. He's like, you want to go? I was like, okay. Hey, why is Jimmy Buffett facing the other way? Why do I see his bare heels instead of his bare feet? Yeah, it was still fun.
A serious question. I asked this yesterday. The concert's on the 21st. Now they've got seating on the field. They've got multiple rows in the stage. You'll kind of come out, and it looks like it'll go to about the 50-yard line is what I've seen. And, you know, they'll be able to kind of walk out. And then on either side, and kind of back behind that, I guess, 50-yard line back, they've got seating. They are aware there's a football game that will take place about 11 days later.
How old are you?
In all seriousness, like, remember, I remember years ago, this was, who was it? Jen, you probably remember because you've been around here. I think it was the, who was it who came to Williams-Brice Stadium and absolutely messed up the grass right before? Do you remember this? I'm sure somebody out there is yelling. No, Gamecock Larry knows. Probably was at the concert. But it was in the 90s.
Wasn't the Pope, was it?
No.
I think it was
somebody,
the 80s.
Somebody came big. Maybe the Rolling Stones. I think maybe. They played Williams-Brice Stadium in about the 90s, the early 90s. And it killed the grass on the field and looked awful.
Well, it sounds like with the ticket prices they're charging, they can buy completely a new field and just pop it on the next
day. I wonder about it because, look, South Carolina's first three games are at home, but you're talking about, I mean, for all the work that they do to get that field ready for a game, and then you're going to have this concert.
I wonder if they'll put a platform.
Right, I would assume, like, some kind of flooring over it.
Yeah, over the entire field?
Yeah.
Or when you said,
okay, that would make sense. I don't know.
They could put an ice rink on there for the money they're charging.
Right.
But whatever you want.
It's going to be ridiculous.
Gold.
Yeah.
You can probably get the retractable roof going.
Right.
$1,500 a ticket. Wow. But we got free tickets coming up, by the way.
Yeah, price range, or maybe I was just looking because the VI, here we go. For some reason, here you go. Look at that.
What website you got there? No, I believe you. It's Ticketmaster is where you're going off of, right? I'm just making sure it's relatively legit. Looks like Ticketmaster to me.
These are field-level tickets. I'm not reading the VIP. This is just Section B, Row 9, $1,250. Section B, Row 14, $1,495. If you want the run, okay, here's the runway VIP experience. Section B, Row 16, $1,995.
I'm sorry, was that almost $2,000?
The runway VIP experience. I don't know what the runway VIP experience is.
Apparently it's expensive. Kurt hits us up on the Shepherd's Glass inbox, says those are probably resale ticket prices.
Okay.
That's the effects of scalpers,
gotcha.
Bill Gunter, and that was probably Metallica you're thinking of, Kurt tells us.
Okay. I'm somebody came, I don't know who, but yeah.
All right.
All right, resale, I'll admit, it's Not a good time.
But why do we get upset about that? I don't get that. Like, we're not paying that, obviously. Those of us here in the studio aren't going to pay that. Is it because we do that, like, with the College Football National Championship, like, the most expensive tickets? Can you believe someone paid $60,000?
Well,
if they got it.
Well, let's tie it back into what's going on. Number one, what people paid last year to go to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
To go get a ticket, to pay to go to the Final Four, and then on top of that, if you're a Clemson fan, you haven't seen this in a while, and you're in Omaha tonight, and how much are you willing to spend to go to Omaha to watch?
Well, coming off of a couple of national championship game appearances,
and football,
right?
Too, right. So what – we've had this discussion kind of before, but what are you willing to spend? You went to the Final Four last year.
Yep.
You were kind of there, boots on the ground, and saw what happened. I had a buddy who went out there. I had a couple friends who went out there. You flew with one of them, the one you flew with.
Poor guy.
Made quite a mistake in trying to sell – after South Carolina lost, he was demanded back home. He got the phone call.
The bat phone rang.
And was told, your team's not playing anymore. There's zero reason for you to still be out there. It is time for you to come back across country.
I already had that conversation before I went, so I just automatically knew. Like, I need to get a phone call at that
point. I can talk about this because he lives in Tampa, and he's number one. I know he's not up this morning. But so neither he nor his wife will hear this conversation, but he paid.
Shh, it's our secret.
Yeah, but he got the phone call, I believe, on Sunday morning saying, all right, when does your flight leave this evening?
Mm-hmm.
And he was going, well, you know, there's another game tonight. And she said, no, your team lost.
So the game was actually on Monday, right?
Right. Well, the national championship game was on Monday, obviously.
So you would have to stay a couple of more days.
So he was going to write.
That was the thing.
And he was demanded home. So he had to resell some of the tickets, and apparently he, for the group that they were with, completely undersold them.
Oh, ouch. How did that happen? He didn't know it was a national championship game?
They figured out the secret, take him to the bar and negotiate the tickets.
I see. Smart. Smart move by them.
They figured out the – but how much would you – like –
well, the reason that I ended up going with my dad, who's a lifelong Gamecock fan.
Right.
And he said it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Yeah.
I mean, even the concept of Gamecock basketball going to the Final Four, even saying it out loud on our program last year, it was hard for me to get out of my mouth without stopping midway. And the fact that it actually happened, it was one of those things where I think a lot of people were in the same boat. in Phoenix, wherever it is, if there's a chance to go, you get to buy tickets. I think there was a certain amount through the Gamecock Club because Carolina gets its allotment. When we went there, it was like four different sections clearly representing the schools, and then it was kind of everybody else involved in the huge University of Phoenix Stadium. But it was a pretty simple decision from my dad's standpoint, and then for me too. He asked me to go. I was like, yeah, absolutely, I'm going to go. But that's where Clemson was the first national championship game, right? When they went out to Arizona. And then the next year, they go down to Tampa, not too far of a trip. So I remember hearing the prices and everything that was involved in that first Clemson national championship trip. And that's a lot of money, man. And then to have it happen again the next year, at least it was in Tampa and drivable and the whole thing. And then last year, it was a Sugar Bowl trip, so relatively regional. But yeah, there's a lot of money involved in that thing. There's no doubt about it. And that's one of the reasons why I think a lot of us get a little irked when we hear the NCAA start talking about student athletes and just completely scoffing at the idea of paying these kids, right? And then you see ticket prices attached to this thing and knowing the expense of just the fan, right, who's already put in a ton of money typically to help support the program just in a regular season. And now when these special things happen, the added expense on top of that, and to know, well, it's not going to the people out there with the blood, the sweat, and the tears actually playing. It's going to some other entity. I think that's what irks me specifically about this thing. The concert deal, I got no problem with, man. I mean, that's capitalism. I think Jay-Z and Beyonce, they made so many people happy just by announcing they're coming to Columbia that I guess it shouldn't shock me, that ticket price. And some people just have a lot of money they're willing to spend on those kind of things.
I mean, I'm just glancing very quickly to see they do go to – they play back-to-back shows. Jay-Z and Beyonce play in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium August 25th and 26th. On August 18th, so Columbia is sandwiched between them playing at New Era Field in Buffalo on August 18th and Vanderbilt. They're playing Vanderbilt's football stadium. How about that? August 23rd in Nashville. And so that's kind of what's – I'm just looking to see if they really come anywhere else close. I don't see anything in North Carolina. You got the Atlanta shows. You don't have anything like Jacksonville, Tampa. There is an Orlando show August 29th. I'm just trying to think of the influx of people that will come here simply to see this concert on a Tuesday
night.
It'll
be good for tourism, no question.
I mean, yeah, the economic impact for this thing,
yeah,
for just the state of South Carolina. I mean, you mentioned, like, Charlotte's not there. I would assume they have gone to Charlotte before they come to Columbia. But they're, in a lot of ways, they're doing South Carolina a favor, not the other way around here. I mean,
I think isn't it odd that it's a year removed? I think August 21st was the eclipse.
That sounds right.
That's about right.
But
a year later.
And to me, this thing is different than, like you mentioned, the Rolling Stones. Even back in the 90s, they weren't in their prime. Like, a lot of big names can come through Columbia, but typically it's not in their prime. Like what Elton John's doing his farewell tour here. Like, that shows you right there. You're not obviously not in your prime. But the fact that they're kind of at the peak, this is not a cash grab for them. They don't need the money.
Exactly.
So it's almost, I got less problem with them charging those kind of prices than I would other ones.
Again, like you said, I don't know what they're based on. What
like you hear Bob Dylan nightmare stories, right? Like if people have gone to Bob Dylan shows and then like, oh, I couldn't even understand a word, the whole thing, then it completely ruins the allure and the majesty of the name Bob Dylan. If you actually saw it in person, it doesn't live up to the.
So I guess my question for you two, because I'm trying to think now, what is the most you've ever paid for a sporting event?
All right,
so we got three cheap people, or at least two cheap people. Jen, where do you stand on this? Like, I feel like yours would be a NASCAR event.
Yeah, we've done this one before. I think you got up to how much? We said $500 would be the absolute most.
No, I'm not asking how much would you pay. I think that's always hypothetical. I think it's easy to say, oh, I would do this.
Right.
I would pay this, and then all of a sudden, either side of that coin, when the time, like you mentioned, there might be people last year who said, well, if South Carolina ever goes to the Final Four, I'll pay $1,000 for the tickets and $1,000 for the flight and $500 for the hotel. That's $2,500 and I'm done. That's anything over $2,500, I'm done. And then all of a sudden it happens and you're like, oh, tickets are, I don't know what tickets were last year, $700, $600, whatever, $300. Yeah. And you go, okay, well, all of a sudden, no, I'm definitely going and I'm buying two of those. And oh, the flight's $1,000. And all of a sudden you're over $2,500 and you go, well, it was worth it. Mm-hmm. Or on the flip side of that, it comes and you go, oh, $2,500. I was going to spend that, but no, I can't do that. I can't do that. It'd be much lower. So how much is, what is the most you've ever spent for a sport, any, the whether it's a concert or a sporting event, something you wanted to go to, what is the most you've ever actually, or are we three cheap people sitting around going, yeah, anything over $70, we aren't going.
What was the big selling point at your career day the other day at second graders? Free tickets, free food.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. The perks of a radio gig are we get tickets to events outside of sports occasionally that I gladly take advantage
Don't
of.
Don't forget inside of sports. Well, gladly take advantage of those sometimes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think back. Like, I remember the SEC championship game would probably be the one, but that was, we got them through the Gamecock Club,
mm-hmm.
and so that we weren't paying the outrageous prices that people outside of the Gamecock Club that couldn't.
You have to go, still, though, more than $100, right?
It was like 120, right. 125, okay. I think.
Very reasonable, wrong. I would
That was
say.
A lot, because I remember two friends of mine paying, I think, $400 each for a ticket.
Jen, you got a number for us?
Indy 500, mm-hmm. you know, we go to every year, and I think tickets are about $135.
Ooh. Hey, you guys, I think I'm in the double digits.
I got
still.
The one
I'm
that
so
I got the one that people around here might have said they've paid the most for. You want me to say it now or when we come back?
I think
oh,
we should tease
wow.
it.
Wow.
I got the one that I guarantee, because I just thought about it. I was stunned the first time I ever went there and found out how much tickets cost. Masters tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been down there? Have you guys ever been down there for that, for like the scalping and everything that goes on outside of the gate there?
I've seen it, but I've been just, you know, the media nerd, so I haven't had to take part in it.
I'll never forget. We went, my dad and I went down for a practice round.
Mm-hmm.
I was probably 13 or 14.
I need to know this because I want to take my mom there. She's a big golf fan but has never been to the Masters and has it kind of on the bucket list.
Mm-hmm. And well, it was a practice round, and I'll never forget.
And that's the best time to go, by
yeah.
the way.
This was back in the 90s, and we got out. I think I got out of the car. We were coming down, what is it, Washington Boulevard right there, whatever, that runs right up to the Masters. And Dad gave me like $300. I think I was about 14 or 15, actually. I think I was in high school. He was mm-hmm. like, all right, hop out and get us tickets. And I remember him handing me $300. I was like, I can get like 9 tickets for this. Why are you giving? He's like, no. He's like, don't, try not to spend all of it, you know, like, but now you've got your price raised. That was like my first introduction into having to, like, go out. And I think I ended up getting them. I think part of the reason he did is I was a young kid. He figured
nice.
Somebody was going to be advantage. Nice. Like, look at me and be like, oh, your kid wants to go in the Masters. Let him. Yeah, here's a deal. And I do think I ended up getting them for like $200. I remember him being very happy and buying me a hat.
Oh, well, there you go.
When we went in.
But leftover. Yeah. Bonus dough.
But, yeah, Masters.
You get a sandwich.
But I, you know, Masters tickets are the ones
oh, yeah.
that are absolutely, you go down there and it's for practice rounds, not for the actual.
Sure.
badges, but just for the practice rounds are ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And you got to get on the waiting list and the whole thing, and people just walking around there, being a former TV camera nerd there, doing some stories with the patrons.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's an international group.
Oh, yeah.
You can, everywhere you turn, you're hearing all kinds of different accents, if you will. It is quite the crowd. It's not like a crowd that I've ever been a part of there, because it's easy for us to take it for granted because we're an hour away, I think.
Yeah.
It happens every year and the yeah. whole thing. And but then when you talk to someone who comes from a different continent, it's a different perspective.
Well,
sure.
To me, it's different also because with the Masters, you go from there, and then the next week, you go to the Heritage. And you couldn't do a more 180 on going from one event where everything's quiet, and if you accidentally sneeze in the back of a golfer's swing, they might escort you out to basically people at the Heritage they're not sneezing in the back of people's swing. They're just full on yelling. It's a complete different environment. It's a lot of fun. But that would probably be it. It's fascinating. I go back with Clemson making this run tonight and playing in Omaha. How much does it matter of who you're playing? Last year, South Carolina fans had it pretty lucky. You got to play Duke in Greenville. You didn't have to do all that travel and go that far away. And then Madison Square Garden has kind of become a place that, okay, it was an easier trip than, say, going to Omaha, Nebraska to watch them play Kansas in the Sweet 16. But that was kind of an easier trip, I guess, for South Carolina fans to go up there, and maybe a more enjoyable trip.
Oh,
you could just say, hey, we're going to New York. And
I mean, compared to San Diego for Clemson and
right.
now Omaha, you can't. There's no comparison there. What a time to be alive for South Carolina and Clemson fans, and now the March Madness in general. What we saw last night, Loyola Chicago punching its ticket to the Elite Eight as an 11 seed, and now they're going to take on 9 seed Kansas State. So you're going to get at least a 9 seed or higher into the Final Four. And that trend continues of high seeds making it all the way to the Final Four. On the other side of the bracket, you get number 3 Michigan against number 9 Florida State. Florida State, 15-point winner last night against Gonzaga. Michigan just couldn't miss. And Wagner, their big guy, talking junk to Tyler Davis from A&M. They're down 30, and he's talking to the Michigan Post guy. And the very next play, I think, the Michigan Post guy, Wagner, goes down and dunks and then talks it right, or hits a 3 or something. It didn't make much sense. Texas A&M did not play well, obviously, last night. Michigan shot outstanding, but a lot of those things, they were wide open. It looked like whatever Texas A&M had designed to do to slow down Michigan just got completely dismantled. And of course, it helps when you make 14 out of 24 threes, but man.
Every season you have to have some moments that make you or break you. We had way too many last year that broke us. You know, this year, this group finds ways to win, and it's a testament to who they are. Yeah, they're winners, and they keep grinding and keep believing and keep doing things, and that's what it's all about.
Garrett Gilmore, Coastal Carolina coach, just won his 900th game at Coastal with a walk-off grand slam the other night. And that's this comment coming off of that. And I think it really applies to Gamecock baseball as well. So this year's team now 16-7 for Coastal Carolina. Last year they were coming off the national championship year, didn't make the NCAA tournament, didn't have the same kind of year. I think what he just said there, those moments that make or break you, that's what we saw last year with Gamecock baseball. And we saw it starting early on. It was the Josh Reagan pitch to Seth Beer when the Gamecocks are a pitch away from winning the Clemson series, and it didn't happen. And then that moment, to a large degree, kept happening for Carolina baseball time after time after time, and resulted in 8 straight SEC series lost, at least 2 out of 3. Do you agree with me on that, or am I overselling this thing from Gary Gilmore?
Well, no, I think it's confidence. I mean, is a team rolls along.
Because you have to have results to back up confidence. Still have a confident mindset, but if you don't have the results to back that up, then it means zero.
I mean, I think the results give you the confidence.
But you have to have confidence to get the results. It's kind of a
I think every team goes into a season with confidence. I think every team goes into a season, hey, it's going to be better, or we're going to defend our championship, or whatever it may be. You go in and you have confidence, and this thing start to snowball in either direction.
Because we saw it go in the opposite direction, clearly for Coastal Carolina a couple of years ago, winning the national championship, clearly for Gamecock baseball in that 3-year run. They had really, really good players, right? But those teams, I think Ray Tanner would probably tell you, especially even in 2010 when they won the national championship, he admitted, this is not my most talented team.
Right.
He said, you know, those ridiculous teams back in 2000 when you go 50-6 and then Kip Bocknight wins the Golden Spikes Award the next year, those were really talented teams too. But there was just something in that team, those moments that Gary Gilmore just mentioned, that they made plays.
But look no further than Loyola Chicago right now. And all of a sudden you get on a hot streak, and it's not supernatural, but you get to the point of it's just going to work. I don't know how, and I don't know where, and no clue, but let's just keep fighting and fighting and fighting. And you know what? It's going to work. And to me, that's what South Carolina, what was the hashtag? Battle? I think it was Scott Wingo who came up with battle. Let's just battle, and somehow, some way, it's going to work out. And we're going to be the victors at the end of the game. And I feel like that's what we're seeing with Loyola Chicago right now. Just get it to the final 2 minutes, and I don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, they're Kansas State in there, too. They're a 9 seed. I mean, they would be a ridiculous Cinderella at this point if it were not for Loyola.
But the reason I say that is because Loyola's played 3 games and won by 3 points.
4.
Okay, 4 points. Yeah.
Give them their due.
The 2-point, I forgot about the 2-point. But that's my point. Like, just get it to the very end, and somebody's going to hit a shot here, and you know what? Doesn't matter if he flips it behind his back, it's going to go in. And those kind of moments, even when you have an All-American in Josh Reagan, and you have the pitching staff that South Carolina had, when guys took the mound last year, you knew those guys were good players, but the confidence level was not there, in my opinion, to make the pitch or get the out or do the thing necessary that would win the ballgame. And I think that's why I'm saying
Well, I think it was there early. Don't you think coming off a super regional season, having a top five
that's what I'm saying. Everybody
preseason
goes,
ranking, and then that Clemson thing happened, and then I think that just became the trend.
But that's what I'm saying. Everybody goes into the season with confidence, and then it's the results that dictate, I think, how the rest of the season goes and whether you step on the mound in the ninth inning or whether you have the ball at the end of a game or you have the ball at the – if you have football, you have the ball with 2 minutes to go. I mean, again, it goes back to the results of years for Tom Brady. And all of us looked at when he got the ball with 2 minutes to go, 2.5 minutes to go, whatever it was, against the Eagles, and you just said, oh, ball game. We know what Tom Brady's going to do. That's ball game. And I think it's the same thing. When Matt Price rolled out of the bullpen in those great years, you looked at it and you went, ball game. Here comes 22.
Can you extrapolate that to Will Muschamp's defense to a large degree? How many times were they on the field here in the last couple of years where they had a chance to lose the game, and they're very I don't remember one where the opposing offense makes a play in the final seconds to beat Carolina here recently.
And that's a good point, I think.
But that wasn't based off years of winning for Will Muschamp in South Carolina. I think maybe based off his years being a defensive coordinator and maybe exuding some confidence in those moments.
But I think it builds over that season. Builds over that season, and you saw that with South Carolina in football. And I think, you know, in basketball, I don't know if you ever saw that this year with South Carolina basketball. I do feel like you're seeing it a little bit with Clemson basketball right now.
No, you saw it the other way for South Carolina
basketball. Right, when they went on that losing streak, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, so I think with South Carolina baseball right now, it's just like we talk about the fan base, it's teetering on the edge. It can go one of two ways. They haven't been able to win these one-run games they haven't been able to win these one-run games as Mark Kingston talked about on Tuesday night.
Sure, 1-4.
So all of a sudden, when you get in a late game, your mindset goes the other way. Here we go again. What bad's going to happen to us? It's kind of that karma thing. What bad is going to happen?
Well, that's why I think this weekend at Georgia is so important for the Gamecocks, because they can start to turn that trend around and erase. Like, John Gilreath has no playing memories of what happened last year.
Right.
18-year-old freshman wasn't part of last year's SEC series losses.
But in my opinion,
most of the position players,
having
were.
Been on a team, having been in team environments, doesn't the rest of the team kind of affect you? Like, if guys around you are kind of,
but
getting
it has
jittery,
the other way too.
Uptight, yeah.
It can go the other way. We saw that, I think, with Michael Roth. Largely,
right.
He helped that, and the Matt Price situation as well. Back in the heyday of Carolina baseball, let's hear what Charles has to say about that on the Love Chevrolet phone lines 803-404-6100. Good morning, Charles. Charles, are you there?
With you, I kind of agree with you on the confidence thing, but I tell you the difference that I'm seeing this year and last year, and it actually is bothering me a little bit. Last year, you talk about the Seth Beer pitch. That's just a pitch. That's execution. That may be confidence. But this year, I'm not seeing confidence. I'm seeing mental mistakes. I'm seeing the ball hit back to the pitcher, and you got to play at home, and you just automatically go to first. I see a bunt and nobody's covering first. I don't think that's confidence. That's to me, there's a big difference in confidence and just being mentally tough and mentally prepared. And so I think the confidence will come, but not if you're making mental mistakes, you're not going to put yourself in position to become confident.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Charles. And Mark Kingston not happy with the mistakes. You throw in the Sunday pickoff play over to first that got away against Florida. Florida scores a run there. They win by one. That's there as well. You got to give Carolina some credit, though, on the other end. They did come back against Clemson at home on a Friday night and have enough confidence to make plays and have a walk-off win there. They did battle back from down 6-0 in that series finale at Clemson to get back in the game to force a bottom of the ninth inning. It's just in those moments, seemingly time after time after time, when you throw in last year where you have the chance to win the game, like Gary Gilmore say, the make or break moments, they can break you. And that's what happened to last year's team. I think this year's team is in danger of getting into that same territory if they can't turn it around and find a series win here in the next 2 weeks, especially with Georgia and Tennessee, with the bulk of the better teams staring them in the face after that in SEC play. We talked about how much those ticket prices were. Tickets much more reasonable at Gamecock softball this weekend, and they have a special, special item that might entice you to go there. I'm calling it the Gunner Burger. Apparently, there are only 60 of these things. It's a burger with a donut bun.
Yeah, these things are becoming quite popular. And
I'm sorry, these things are. This is a thing.
Oh yeah, man.
This is not unique to Beckham Field over there. Is
special
what you're
edition.
Okay.
So check it out. Gamecock at Gamecock Softball. SOFTBLL at Gamecock Softball. Special edition donut burger available tomorrow. Looks delicious, man.
That's, I think that's today. I think they put that out yesterday.
22nd, yeah, you're right. They put it out 4/26 yesterday.
So 6 o'clock today starts a series at home, the second SEC series of the season against number 2 Tennessee. Gamecock softball this year. You seen the record? You want to guess? Played 29 games. You're not guessing. You're just clicking buttons now.
Yeah, I'm looking more at the burger. Ignore what I'm doing over here.
25-4.
That's what I was getting to.
They won 2 out of 3 to start the SEC portion of the season at Ole Miss last week. So 25-4, Gamecock softball taking on number 2 Tennessee.
Ranked 15th in the country.
Yes, Gamecocks are 15th, and Tennessee is number 2 in the country.
How about that?
What am I hearing?
Oh!
Why does that elicit an immediate physical response of hand waving in the air from
you? Hey, you never saw it? Yeah, hand up. Come on, guys.
No, no.
I want to see you do the dance moves.
Not, no, 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 no. Don't encourage that.
Nobody's behind us, right? Like car crash behind us on Gervais.
Unless you're going to video this so other people have to be subjected to it, I am not going to be the only one. While you go answer the phones now that people can win a pair of tickets to Jay-Z and Beyonce August 21st at Williams-Brice Stadium.
I should be raising my left hand. It's the ring. Is it left? I think it's left.
Yeah.
There we go.
The single ladies.
How about that?
And what caller would you like?
Let's do caller number 9 this morning. We started with 10. We went down to 4. And now caller number 9 is a winner for Jay-Z and Beyonce tickets right here on 107.5 The Game. You can buy those tickets starting on Monday. You can continue to win tickets here on 107.5 The Game later on this afternoon. I believe Jay and Tommy will be giving away these tickets. If Tommy does one of those dances, that has to be videotaped.
That should be actually what we should do is record Tommy singing several Beyonce and
or just going through the lyrics.
Or just, yeah, and then when we play that, that's when you got to get to. That's what we should do.
Just come in from break. you're not sure if it's Tommy trivia or a giveaway for Jay-Z and Beyonce. I love that idea. We'll get right on that. We'll make it happen. Busy weekend as well. USC women's basketball, we haven't talked about it very much. It's an 11:30 start time tomorrow. It's we've seen the 11 seed now become the Cinderella in the men's tournament. And Loyola moving on now to the Elite Eight, taking on another Cinderella in Kansas State, number 9 seed. So at least the number 9 seed will make the men's Final Four. The Gamecocks hoping to end that Cinderella run for Buffalo tomorrow up in Albany, New York. 11:30 start time with UConn, most likely staring the winner of that game in the face with a spot on the line for the Final Four. That game will be Monday night, by the way. So I fully expect the Gamecocks to handle Buffalo, I would say, relatively comfortably. I understand they're on a good run, but they don't have Asia Wilson. And from what I've seen here in the last few weeks, Asia Wilson, not only the best player on the floor from a physical tool standpoint and can do everything physically, but also the emotion, the leadership that she's shown, and the next level she's taking her game to, I think will help USC take care of and handle Buffalo and move on and get that matchup that I think a lot of fans have been looking forward to / dreading with UConn on Monday night. What do you think?
I know nothing about Buffalo, so I have no idea. I think South Carolina wins. Let's not pretend that I've been studying the Buffalo women's basketball
team. No, they whipped up on Florida State, who's been has had a pretty good program here recently.
And full disclosure, I'm currently on their ESPN page.
Oh, now we're doing full disclosure. When do we start doing this?
The other times, what do you think I do all day? It's like I was telling those kids at Career Day the other day. I pay attention. I leave here, and I go read all day. Where do you think I come up with this track knowledge for Martinsville and the speedway up there and the paperclip track and the fact that it's got 12 degree turns on the outside and that there's asphalt on the straightaways but concrete in the corners? I know all this stuff because I pay attention each and every day, which reminds me, how did your career fair go yesterday?
Oh, pretty good. Here's how old I am.
Okay.
So a guy I talked to when I went through the career fair in 2000 was there. I remember him telling me, if you want to get into sports, you got to work on the weekends. And so I went over and introduced one of my old interns to him.
Ah.
And said, maybe this guy will work for you someday. That's how old I am. So it came full circle. Adrian, our winner, our final winner this morning to Jay-Z and Beyonce August 21st. He wins a pair of tickets. Going to continue to give those away later on the halftime show from 1 to 4.
How about this? Buffalo beat Clemson in basketball this year 61-41. They're going for the sweep of the Palmetto State. Don't let that happen, girls. I read that one off of ESPN.com. I didn't research that last night.
272 votes. Most of you want to see Carolina sweep Georgia, 48%, our winner of what you'd like to see happen most this weekend. Hope it's a good one for you. We'll talk to you on Monday here on 107.5 The Game.